Well, smoking used to be all around us, and there was a time when it was even suggested as a way to calm your nerves, thinking way back. But now we're much more aware of the serious health effects, not only on the smoker, but of those around them. A lot of folks have successfully quit. There are also many who'd like to, but haven't gotten it yet. We're lucky to have an excellent facility here in Wisconsin to help those who want to quit and to give you important resources and information that you can use. Dr. Mike Fiore, professor of medicine, director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention for the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, our guest. Mike, always glad to have you join us. Thanks for being with us today.
Larry, great to be back.
Well, it's a pleasure. We're 2 years out from when the statewide smoking ban was enacted. First of all, what does that Smoke-Free Wisconsin Act cover?
Well, what it does is cover all indoor work environments. So if you work in an enclosed environment, and there are a few exceptions, but they're minimal, you should be working in an environment that is free of the dangers of secondhand smoke, and that includes work sites, it includes restaurants, and it also includes bars and taverns here in Wisconsin.
And what kind of data from the last 2 years are you seeing?
Well, first, the data that is, I think, most important to people, and that is how popular this change has been. You know, a lot of people were concerned, or some people were concerned, would this, in fact, be a negative to the economy? And as predicted, just the opposite occurred, and that is that it is a boom to restaurants and work sites for a number of reasons. First, most people don't smoke. In Wisconsin, about 80% of people do not smoke. And many of them had to avoid these establishments because of damage to their own health. Now they can go there, they can enjoy those settings, and they can spend money at those settings as well. It also is increased worker productivity. We know the average worker who smokes takes 2 extra sick days, is 8% less productive, spends about a half hour every day on smoking. If they're in a work site that they're not engaged in smoking, and particularly if they quit, they're going to be much more productive. And then finally, innocent bystanders are now protected. There was a study from the UW-Milwaukee Center for Urban Initiatives, and what it found is that there was a substantial improvement in bartender health since this ban went into effect, and it makes sense.
I can believe that.
You know, there have been some studies that have shown that a bartender in a smoky tavern, without smoking a single cigarette herself, over an eight-hour shift, ingests the equivalent of a pack of cigarettes. Huh. It's a lot of smoke exposure, and now all of those individuals can go to work and feel like their health is not endangered.
Yeah, so wonderful results there. The Centers for Disease Control have been running some very graphic ads on the theme of tips from former smokers, and they are very graphic. I've seen them. They seem to be I don't smoke, but if I did smoke, I think I would think twice about it. Has it had a good impact?
Yeah, as we've all had the opportunity to, for the first time ever, there is a national media campaign that counters the advertising and promotion of the tobacco industry. Let's put this in some context. The tobacco industry spends every year in advertising, marketing, and promotion more than $10 billion, billion with a B. And for the first time, the government put a little bit of money. It was actually less than $50 million to buy some counter-advertising. And the results were really dramatic. More than 200,000 additional Americans called their local quit line and said that the ads motivated them to do so. Here in Wisconsin, over the 12 weeks of the campaign, almost 4,000 of our residents called for help. So what these ads are doing, and the campaign, by the way, ended about 2 weeks ago, but what the ads are doing is motivating people who want to quit to take some action. We've had scores of people contact us directly and say, you know, I saw a couple of those ads, and I've always wanted to quit, but they gave me just that little extra push that helped me to do it. And in that way, we're really going to literally save thousands of lives. It's not forcing anybody to do anything they don't want to do, but for a lot of people, seeing real people who've been damaged from smoking move them in a way that nothing has before. And it's really been a success, yes. We're pleased that we've been able to help so many Wisconsin residents.
That's great news. I got an email from Genevieve in Madison. It says, I'm in my 40s, grew up in a heavy smoking household until I was about 16. So she's been away from that for 24 or 5 years, somewhere in there. Never smoked myself, but worry that the early exposure may have done some damage.
Well, that's a great question. And what we can share with the individual who sent the email is that you are out of the danger period for cancer, for heart attacks, and for strokes. We know that within a year of quitting or being removed from secondhand smoke exposure, your risk of a heart attack is cut by 50%, wow. And it returns to being a never smoker within 5 years. The cancer risk takes about 15 to 20 years, so this lady is well beyond that period. The one thing that is not reversible is if there was some damage to the inside of your lungs, it's probably minor, but that typically is irreversible. But the good news is you've been away 25 years. You're out of the danger period for the things that people are most concerned about from smoking, and you're doing the right thing.
Excellent. You can join in, too, if you have a question or comment for our guest today. Are you a current smoker? Would you like to quit? Or are you a former smoker? How did you quit successfully? What was your motivation? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And I know we've got some. I'll get to those. I know there's at least one on my Facebook page. We'll find that in just a minute. And you know, I guess what you're saying here reminds me that it's really never too late to quit. The fact that regardless of if you're smoked or have been smoking a long time, there are changes in your health happen almost right away.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who are in their 50s and 60s say, you know, I've been smoking for 30 years. What difference will it make at this point? It'll make a world of difference. In fact, for a person who quits at age 50, their risk of dying in the next 15 years is cut in half.
Wow.
Compared to a person who continues to smoke. And there have been some really helpful changes in insurance coverage. If you're a Medicare recipient, Medicare listeners, the government has now expanded the coverage for counseling you can get from your doctor. So you can see your doctor, get counseling, and that's covered by Medicare without a copay. And the smoking cessation medicines are all covered by Medicare Part D. So those are two important changes to help older Americans who smoke to quit.
Dave in West Bend, thank you for calling. Hello, appreciate your call.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
I'm a truck driver. My question is it illegal for people to be smoking in a truck that are driving a truck for a living? And the reason I ask that is that I work for a company and I'm in different trucks from time to time. Most of the time, I'm in a couple of different trucks that haven't been smoked in, but from time to time they try and put me in a truck for certain loads that somebody else has been smoking in, and I've refused to do it. So my question is it legal for them to allow the smoking in these trucks? Or?
Oh, it's great. Great question. And I'm going to confirm it and get back to Larry for his Facebook page, but I do not believe that the smoking ban in Wisconsin includes motor vehicles. So I do not believe it covers motor vehicles that are work sites. But I'll confirm that, Larry, and get back to you.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. That's a really good question. It's one I hadn't heard about. Kyle in Waukesha, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello. I don't really believe this 80% figure that was thrown out there that don't smoke. I'm a 57-year-old man. I live here in Waukesha, and I do not know of any adults who do not smoke, and I know a lot of people around here.
Yeah?
Well, all I could say is that in more than a dozen independent surveys, and these are done throughout Wisconsin and throughout the nation, they've tracked smoking rates, and what we know is that among adults in Wisconsin, the current smoking rate is about 19%. With that said, though, that rate of smoking is not equal across all groups of people. We know, for example, that people with less education, people who have not finished high school, the smoking rate for that group is about 35%. We know that Native Americans in Wisconsin, the rate of smoking in that group is about 40%. We know that among people who also have an alcohol dependence challenge, the rate of smoking in that group is more than 50%. So there are different rates depending on the group, but the overall rate in Wisconsin, and I don't think anybody disputes this, is about 20%.
There we go. We'll be back with Dr. Mike Fiore after this look at the news. Stay with us. Folks used to smoke anywhere and everywhere, on planes, in offices, in classrooms, restaurants and bars. 2 years ago, a statewide smoking ban went into effect. What difference has it made? Hi, Larry Mueller here, talking about that today, and talking about smoking and quitting smoking with Dr. Mike Fiore from the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. He's here to help you to quit if you're a smoker, or if you are a former smoker. We'd love to hear your story as well. You can join in our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. And certainly if you click like while you're there, and I hope you do that, we will send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. Again, that's The Larry Mueller Show. Back right after the news. Smoking used to be all around us. There was a time when it was even suggested as a way to calm our nerves, but now we're much more aware of the serious health effects, not only on smokers, but on those around them. A lot of folks have successfully quit. There are many people who would like to and haven't just quite gotten there yet. And we're lucky to have an excellent facility in Wisconsin to help those who want to quit and to give important information and resources for all of us. Dr. Mike Fiore with us today, professor of medicine, and is the director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. And Mike, again, always glad to have you join us. Thank you for coming by today.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be here, and it's great to talk to Wisconsin, where so many people have been able to successfully quit, and it's really wonderful to see that progress.
And we had a caller call in and ask about smoking in a semi, or, you know, in his business, he has to drive semis that other people have driven who smoke, and he's refused sometimes to not even get in those cabs. Is it legal to smoke in a truck when the truck is for a business purpose?
Yeah, over the news break, Larry, I checked, and we had confirmed that if it's a work site, if that truck is a work site, then it is covered under the smoke-free law. So he should talk with his employer about that.
And Tim in Eau Claire, let's go there. Hi, Tim. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for my call. My wife and I run a company and we send caregivers to do in-home supportive care for elderly clients throughout the Chippewa Valley, and many of our clients still smoke in their homes. How are we affected by this?
Well, first, you're doing good work, and you're helping older people who are in need, and I can understand how, while doing that, you're challenged by the fact that your employees are being exposed to secondhand smoke. A couple suggestions. One is the dangers from secondhand smoke are what we refer to as a dose response risk. The more exposure you get, the greater the risk. But unfortunately, there is no safe low level of risk.
Yeah.
So even a little bit, it can be at risk. What I would say is to possibly talk with the older individuals that you're visiting their home and ask if, as a favor to you and to your employees, they would be willing to not smoke while you are there and servicing them. Because it's their own home, I believe they have the right to continue to smoke in that home. But I understand the conflict that you have sending your employees into that setting. Most people are pretty reasonable about this. And I hope with just a request, you will create a safer environment for your employees.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You could even explain or say that businesses, you know, the state government, the laws are such that the state of Wisconsin does not want employers exposing their employees to smoke.
Yep.
And that's true. And so maybe the person could not smoke. Eileen in Black River Falls. We'll get to you in just a minute. I want to go to Sue in Madison next, though. Sue, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. My question revolves around the law in the state of Wisconsin and if it's a universal law. Specifically, we vacation in the North Woods and we vacation at an Indian reservation, which I will not name, but there is a wonderful restaurant that we go to for Friday night fish. And the bartender smoke, the owners smoke, and a lot of the clients must be part of the 20% who are continuing to smoke. Are the laws different on the Indian reservations than they are in other areas, bars and restaurants throughout the state?
Sue, you're correct that they are different because Indian reservations are viewed as sovereign nations. The smoke-free indoor ordinance law does not apply to them. You also point out epidemiologic finding, and that is, and for all the racial and ethnic groups in Wisconsin, the one with the highest smoking rate are Native Americans in Wisconsin. For some of the tribes, it's above 40% of adults, so more than double the rate of Wisconsin residents in general. The good news is that more and more Indian reservations are recognizing the importance of addressing commercial tobacco because it wreaks such harm among Native Americans in our state. They're trying to help their members of their reservation to quit, and they're even in some instances, although this is less common, making smoke-free indoor environments.
Mm, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. Someone else was wondering, was at a restaurant in Madison that has an outdoor area. It's all fenced in. And there was smoking in that dining area, in that outside area where it's essentially a restaurant.
Many restaurants have set up patios, and smoking is allowed on outdoor patios.
Eileen in Black River Falls, now thank you for waiting. Hello.
Sure. I know we've all heard of the link between smoking and lung cancer, but my husband passed away from pancreatic cancer, and they list smoking as the number one risk factor for pancreatic cancer, which is virtually, you know, a highly deadly cancer.
Yeah.
Well, ma'am, I'm sorry for your loss, and you provide such an important bit of information for our listeners. You're right. We focus on lung cancer, and in fact, smoking causes more than 100,000 lung cancer deaths in America every year. But pancreatic cancer is one of the most deadly, and sadly, it's one of the most painful and difficult deaths of any form of cancer. My first boss in tobacco control, the director of the United States Office on Smoking and Health, a physician named Ron Davis, died at the age of 50 of pancreatic cancer. He, of course, was never a smoker, but he got pancreatic cancer. The leading risk factor, as the listener mentions, is smoking. And by quitting smoking or never starting, you can dramatically decrease your risk of pancreatic cancer.
Sorry for your loss, Eileen. Yeah, thank you very much for bringing that to our attention again. Christine in Mount Horeb, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was a little, I didn't start smoking until I was about 23. And I was a heavy drinker and a big smoker, and the two went hand in hand, and I ended up just smoking all the time. And I ended up quitting about 2 years ago because I had two kids, and I hated how I smelled. I got, both my parents were smokers, and, you know, just the smell of it just kind of got to me. So I decided to use medication, and the medication was exactly what I needed. I was only on it for, I think, 2 weeks because then it made me kind of loopy, but it was the catalyst I needed to get over the hump, to quit.
Mm. And what was the medication, do you recall?
It was Chantix.
Chantix, okay.
Great.
And it made me crazy, but it was exactly what I needed to get me to stop. And, I mean, I've been sober now for 10 years, but I think quitting smoking was harder than quitting drinking.
Yeah.
It was the hardest thing.
Yeah. Well, Christine, what a great story, and what a hopeful message for all of our listeners who are thinking about quitting. A couple points that I just want to pick up on from your story. The first is what the United States Public Health Service clinical practice guideline says is that if you want to up your likelihood of success, there's no magic bullets out there, and we got to recognize that. Smoking's hard work, as you pointed out. But if you want to give yourself the highest likelihood of success, you should do two things. You should get counseling, either through your doctor or through the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. And you should go on one of the seven FDA-approved medications. Five of them of nicotine. One of them is varenicline or Chantix, and the other one is bupropion. So Chantix and bupropion are pills. These medicines, again, aren't magic, but they dramatically increase your success rate. And what I always tell my patients is they serve as a bridge. You go from smoking to the medicines to help get you through the worst of it. Most people are, it's actually recommended to use for 2 or 3 months, but you use them for 2 weeks, which is great. And then you get rid of both, and you're free of both medication and cigarettes, which are so deadly. So, Christine, 2 year anniversary, congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate that call very much. 10 years quitting alcohol and 2 years on quitting smoking probably definitely increased her lifespan.
Yep, dramatically.
Marvin in Platteville, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I'm 73 years old, and I was smoking 3 packs a day. And in 1984, I had an operation that couldn't smoke while I was in the hospital, so I decided it was a good time to quit, and I did.
And you haven't smoked since?
Haven't smoked since.
Yeah, well, Marvin, that's great. You're now coming on to 30 years out, so what an accomplishment, particularly given you were smoking 3 packs per day, an incredible amount of cigarettes. I'm sure you were getting up in the middle of the night to smoke some of those, which a lot of people who aren't smokers don't realize is that a lot of smokers out there actually wake up in the middle of the night and have a couple smokes. Marvin, you did what a lot of people do, and that is they use a medical event to help give them that extra push to quit. It's been said that the most effective smoking cessation treatment is a heart attack. some of the highest rates of smoking are among people who have heart attacks. And what we try to do is get people to take that action before the bad health outcomes, like a heart attack, like surgery, like cancer. And I'd say one last thing. It's not just about increasing the years of life. And I think most smokers who've quit will tell you this. It's the quality of the life. You don't smell bad. You're not spending $2,000 or $3,000 a year on your smokes. You're not out of breath all the time. You're not coughing up phlegm all the time. Smokers will tell you that when they quit, they feel better and their quality of their life is dramatically improved.
And thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. William sent us a Facebook note. Says, 30-year smoker, quit smoking for over a year and three different times. Last time was after my father's heart surgery. Seeing that big zipper on his chest was enough to put me to quit. Stress seems to be the reason for my return to smoking. Starting a new job or losing a job. Now it's my return to school after being a displaced worker. I eat pumpkin seeds in the car to take my mind off smoking. Transferring seems to help me cut down, but I always seem to fall for the cravings after 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
What he's not telling us is that he's had any counseling. And
yeah. So what you're describing is powerful nicotine withdrawal symptoms. And you're clearly committed to doing it. I'd add two things to your personal commitment, which is the foundation of any successful quit attempt. The first is get some counseling support. And you could get it from your clinic, but you can get it free of charge through the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. But also you're saying that you need something to take the edge off of nicotine withdrawal symptoms. And what I'd urge for you to do is to buy 4 milligram or 2 milligram nicotine lozenges. There's a new one called that gets in your bloodstream very quickly, the Nicorette Mini Lozenge. Any brand, frankly, works, but that one gets in your bloodstream very quickly. And what it'll help you to do when you're driving, when you're under stress, preparing for an exam now that you're back at school, gives you something to turn to other than a smoke that will both deal with the withdrawal symptoms but give you another option. So good luck in doing that.
And thanks very much for calling. We had another email that I wanted to read to you from Carla. What advice can you give me to help my husband, 56, to quit? He's recently watched his 90-year-old father enter a rest home. He doesn't want to have to go through that, wearing a diaper, have somebody else help him in the bathroom. He would rather not live through that. How do I get him to want to quit?
Yeah. Well, ma'am, ultimately, he's got to make that decision. But what you can let him know is that you'll support him. And I know you won't be badgering him, which is what the challenge is, of course, with anybody who's trying to quit, but that you'll support him. Urge him to call the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. One of the things they'll ask on that call is, you know, what are you most concerned about? The key question is, are you willing to try to quit? But what do you think is the biggest challenge to succeeding? Because there's ways to deal with those challenges. And once he has a plan for quitting, he's much more likely to succeed. And in addition to the counseling, take advantage of one of the 7 FDA-approved medications. These things help enormously, but the foundation has to be the personal commitment to doing so. One last point. You can call the quit line as a caregiver, and they'll give you special advice on how you could help a loved one to quit.
An email from Ronnie is talking about ways to quit. He was wondering about what your thoughts are about electronic cigarettes. They emit vapor as opposed to smoke. I've seen folks supposedly have success with them, but my wife said they were not regulated and could be proven to be dangerous even at some point. Wondering what you think.
So electronic cigarettes are all the rage right now. It seems there's always something out there. It's hypnosis. It's acupuncture. It's laser therapy. And e-cigarettes clearly have helped some people. The problem is exactly what the writer describes. They're not regulated. We don't know what's in them in terms of chemicals. I would say they're surely safer than cigarettes, but we've got so many other treatment options that have been tested and are known to be safe. So I would urge people to use what we know helps and it's already been tested. If a person uses it to succeed, I say, though, more power to them.
Ted in West Allis, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to pass on a couple of things that helped me quit smoking. My last cigarette was, I wrote it inside of a book. It was April 3rd of 1994. The book actually is called The Last Puff. I don't know if your guest is aware of that book or not, but basically it's just people wrote their stories about how they quit smoking, and one of the guys that's in there was the Marlboro Man. Of course, he died of cancer, lung cancer. But more importantly, because I had tried previously, which people do, including using the patch and went back to smoking, but what really got me through the last time that I was successful, and it's been, 18 years now, was the time of the Senate hearing committee, whatever it's called, with the tobacco companies. Oh. And I'd come home from work and I would watch these guys from the tobacco companies lying, saying that cigarettes were not addictive. And it just enraged me so much that is actually what got me over the hump.
Hmm. Well, Ted, that's a great story. And those hearings are very famous, that every tobacco industry executive got in front of the Senate and said, I believe that smoking is not addictive. And many of them said, I don't believe that smoking is harmful. It was really a travesty. Now, Ted, I think you point out a great point, and that is that there'll never be a one-size-fits-all approach to quitting smoking. People are individuals, and I am a supporter of whatever works for you, and that is great that worked. With that said, we need to get out to the public what we know increases odds, and that is some counseling and support, as well as one of these seven medicines. But anything that you can use to quit, more power to you. That's what this is all about. There is nothing that can improve our health more than quitting. We just published a study at the UW Medical School that showed people feel better emotionally when they quit. Mm. They're happier. And I think that's important for folks to hear because they remember the withdrawal symptoms and how miserable they are for the first couple weeks. But once you get a couple months under your belt and you're off smokes, you'll feel better and you'll feel happier. So we could even say now that it helps improve happiness, which is wonderful.
That's great. Thanks again, Ted. And Sarah in Zion, Illinois, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yay, hi, thank you. I'm curious, I've never smoked, I can't stand cigarettes, but I am around pretty frequently tobacco being burned. It's just plain tobacco. And I wonder, what the health risks are compared to just roll your own plain tobacco.
Okay, so roll your own cigarettes.
Yeah, unfortunately, tobacco when burnt is deadly. However you package it, whether it's roll your own or manufactured cigarettes. So unfortunately, it's equally deadly. Most roll your own don't have filters, although some of them do come with filters. It's just as deadly.
And filters really don't. The filters may get rid of some things, but they're
yeah. Yeah, and filters are not a safe alternative.
What is, let's go back, we got about a minute to go here. Resources available, how do people get?
All right, so I want to tell folks about three key resources that are out there. The first, the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line, 1-800-QUIT-NOW. If you're ready to quit, we're ready to help. More than 150,000 Wisconsin residents have called, and it's really a great free service, both counseling and 2 weeks of free medicine. Second, our website at the university, www.ctri.wisc.edu. We have information for smokers, for doctors, for whoever you are, www.ctri.wisc.edu. And finally, smokefree.gov. And that is through the U.S. government's National Cancer Institute. It's an online program for people who want to quit to do so successfully. Larry, we'll send all three of those to you. We'll get them up on your website so that anybody in Wisconsin who wants to take advantage of these resources can quit successfully.
We already have the quit line number up, then we'll get the other ones up as well. Thank you so much, Mike. Dr. Michael Fiore is professor of medicine, director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He's an MD, as well as holding a master's degree in public health. Also has an MBA. So he's done a lot of wonderful work helping people here in Wisconsin and elsewhere to quit smoking. He'll be back. We'll have him on again. Tomorrow at 11, we'll take a look at the 40th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act, and our focus will be on the osprey. And at 11:45, we'll take a look at the Clean Water Act, also celebrating 40-year anniversary. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.